You're listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Today is going to be a short show, probably 40 minutes, maybe even less. I want to finish up what I started yesterday because we had someone scheduled right at 4 o'clock, had to get off on time, and was really in the middle of my segment on the President Obama had a press conference yesterday. He talked for about 65, 66 minutes. He took questions. And what you probably weren't aware of, and I wasn't aware of, but only listening to a number of talk radio shows as well as some news coverage. When the president walked into the news conference, he was handed a list of names to call on, people that were in the audience. And was very, very curious, if you followed all the questions, it was on the fact, it was focused on the need to raise the national debt ceiling, because the government simply needs to do that to finance the government. About a third of the government today is financed. In other words, it needs debt, additional debt, every month, really every week, every month, every year, to finance spending. That's how bad it is. We only have enough money to cover what's called mandatory spending, and that's about two-thirds of the government. In other words, all our tax collections that the federal government gets, it gets every day, but on a monthly basis, it brings in, on average, about $225 billion. That's going to fluctuate all over the lot. It's very, very hard to predict exactly how much each month you're going to get in tax collections. As a matter of fact, the monthly Treasury statement report, which gives this information, is supposedly going to be coming out tomorrow. It's scheduled to come out on the 8th business day. The 8th business day, and October 10th is the 8th business day. However, because we're in this situation where the government has shut down, really the government isn't shut down, approximately 85% of the government is open and doing business. It's only around 15% that is not open, and a lot of that is really what I think is a very vindictive policy of using the Park Service to close down national parks as well as close down monuments in Washington, D.C. that people come from around the country to visit, including our veterans. And what's really disturbing is that the mall, the Washington Mall, you know, from the Capitol to the Washington Monument, was closed, except that the Park Service gave a permit to a group of illegal aliens that want immigration reform. So we have not only do we have a double standard, hypocrites here. We're seeing what I think is a very petty and petulant president trying to make the shutdown in government painful, and I think it's really backfiring, because you probably did not hear in the news today, but the AP came out with a story that President Obama's approval rating has now hit its lowest since he's been president at 37%, and I really think it's going to fall below that, because the launch of Obamacare has been a disaster, and more details are leaking out that the insurance companies involved with it warned repeatedly that it wasn't ready to roll out. There were too many glitches to it. It needed to be further tested. They simply were not ready to roll this out, and if they did roll it out, you were going to see the problems that we're seeing today, and people are really complaining about it. And what they're getting, to the extent that the people hang in there and can access the information, what they're finding is that they were lied to. The president promised repeatedly during his campaign that you would keep your doctor, you would keep your plan, and your premiums would go on down by approximately $2,500 annually. All of those statements are proving to be big lies. So the American people are getting sticker shock when they see. Usually what happens is many of these people already have existing plans, and they're getting letters from their insurance company saying, effective a certain date, we will no longer be able to offer the plan that you're currently covered on, and you're paying a certain premium, and that if you want comparable coverage, here's what we believe is the comparable plan. And what they're finding, it costs several hundred to several thousand, well, several hundred dollars more a month, which means over 12 months over the year, you're paying many thousands of dollars more, not less. The president said you're going to pay on average less. No, you're not. You're paying a lot more, significantly a lot more. And hardest hit are young people. And what I think this is a disaster in the making, because let's say the website for Obamacare worked perfectly. Now, it doesn't work perfectly, and there, you got to be real careful about this, because a lot of the information you're disclosing, what a lot of people do is they go through the fine print. And I recently I had a renewal lease on my apartment, and I did for a year. And there are pages and pages and pages that I did not read. I just initialed and went on. Because the way I look at it, if I'm dissatisfied with the apartment complex, I'm gone. Sue me. Now, there are statements, and it goes on. It's clear that a lot of lawyers build a lot of hours to make sure that they covered the owners of the apartment complex. No one reads these leases. No one does. You'd have to be an attorney to understand them all. Now, they're protecting the apartment complex. But like I say, if the complex is not living up to what I think the contract was, I'm moving. I'm not going to stay around and try to sue me. It's not, see, I know, because I used to deal with lawyers all the time, hiring a lawyer and pursuing it is very, very expensive. And the first thing a lawyer will tell you, if you want to really pursue this through litigation, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. It's simply not worth it. So a lot of it is just scare tactics. I'm very much of the old school, a handshake is a handshake. And if both sides live up to the bargain that's struck, fine. But today we're a nation of laws, but more devastating, a nation of lawyers that prepare these documents. And these were, and a lot of these documents were prepared by a real estate association. Now, why I'm getting into this? You know, just before coming on, I was reading some articles and pointing out, and this was for Maryland. State of Maryland. There are certain disclosures, and one of the things is you're going to be disclosing information that you think is confidential. So does the insurance company think it's confidential. You don't want it known. But there's statements in there that this information can be released to the police or authorities, whoever they are, and that could be the state, it could be the federal government, as well as for people auditing it, which includes the IRS. You know, I'm buying, to the extent that you're going out there and buying health insurance, it's really between you and the insurance company. Yet, what you're signing when you click, you agree to this, is that information be disclosed to the federal government and law enforcement. I don't want that. And I would say most people are simply not aware of it, but they're becoming aware of it. Because they're seeing the major I'm hearing major objections of people that have tried this. The number one is most people have their own coverage now. Either they bought individual coverage or they were on a plan with their employer. And now they're forced to go to, for whatever reason, to buy individual coverage through the exchanges. And what they're finding is, one, just the monthly premiums are much higher. And, yes, they have a selection of plans, but premiums are much higher. Why are they much higher? These plans have coverage. For example, I'm a male. I don't need coverage for maternity. I don't want coverage to cover psychiatric care. What I'm saying is, in the past, I had literally many carriers to buy plans from, many more options just in the sheer number of companies, and each company has different plans. So if I truly wanted to shop and tailor a plan to me, I could do that. Not anymore. In essence, what you're finding, you have the bronze, the silver, the gold, and the platinum plan to choose from. And because of everything they've mandated must be included in the plan, just from the get-go, that's going to cost you more money. And it is, no matter which plan you select. Even though you don't want certain coverages, don't need and don't want, guess what? You're paying for them. Second is, you have people that the insurance companies are required to accept people with pre-existing conditions. That means you're going to have to cross-subsidize those people. So again, it's more money. Thirdly, it's community rated. See, in the past, if you bought individual coverage, it was medically underwritten, which means you had to answer medical questions. Well, you don't have to answer that anymore. So if you're healthy, you're really penalized. You know, I could always answer the questions that it's not going to rate me. Now, you're going to get, when it's community rated, it's one rate. Again, you have age groups. All I'm trying to say, there's a lot of things that make it more expensive. And guess what? It's more expensive. It's not cheaper. It is not cheaper. Then what kicks people in the teeth, they find out what the deductibles are. See, most people are used to a plan that really comes in four. I like the way I used to describe it to prospects is you have four distinct areas. One where you pay 100% of the bill. That's your deductible. And most of the plans I was selling had $100 deductible, $250, $500, $750, $1,000. That was the typical range of your deductible. And most people went towards the lower deductible. And that changed over time because it's very simple. The higher deductible, the less the premium. So, yeah, you could have a $100 deductible, but you pay for it. So people begin to get smart and go for higher deductibles. And that's the way it was until Obamacare. Now you have very high deductibles. We're not talking $1,000 or $2,000. We're talking $5,000. And that, again, doesn't sit well, especially if you're a husband and wife. That's $5,000 each. You potentially out-of-pocket $10,000. So the deductible is not in the range that most people are that can write a check for. And that's the way to approach it. Can you write it? You know, that's the way I used to say, what can you write a check for? Can you write a check for $100? Yes. Can you write a check for $200? Well, be pushing it, but yes. What about $500? Well, maybe. Well, maybe $500 should be your deductible. Now it's 10 times that. So not only are they seeing higher premiums, they're seeing way higher deductibles. They don't like that. And the second region was a cost-sharing area, and that usually was $80,000, $20,000 to $5,000. In other words, after you pay the deductible, the next $5,000, you would either pay 20% of $5,000, which is $1,000, or, in some plans, 30%. You elected how you want to go. And other plans, the cost-sharing area could be as high as $10,000. Now the percentages, for example, in the bronze, you pay 60%. So people are not liking that. Now, I'm not going to make this show on, and in the third region is, you know, once you've met the deductible, you met your copay, then 100% is the insurance company. And you had a fourth region. You had a lifetime maximum. Now, the best plans out there, There isn't a lifetime maximum. It's unlimited, but they're more expensive. Some plans would have a $5 million lifetime maximum. Now, this is very unlikely that you're going to hit a $5 million lifetime maximum. It can happen, but it's very, very remote. Some plans would have $3 million. The poorer plans would have $1 million. So, and those maximums, my understanding, are still not defined. And that's important. If I'm buying coverage, I want to know what my maximum lifetime, you know, where do I end coverage? Let's say the absolutely worst thing happens to me. When do I have to then start picking it up? And see, what a lot of young people do is buy catastrophic plans to cover the worst situation where they have a very, very high deductible but a very, very, very low premium, which probably makes sense for them. But what they're, and that's what they have, and what they're finding is, and that might be $75, $100 a month. Like I said, I've been out of the business a long time, so I'm not really current. But now they're finding they're limited to, most cases, one carrier, four plans, and they really don't like two or three of the plans. And they can't afford any of them. They're mad. You see, what I think is going to happen, even when they get the Obamacare website works perfectly, people aren't going to sign up. They're going to say, the hell with it. You know, come after me. I'm not going to do it. I don't like, you're forcing me to buy something I can't afford, and I don't like the product. And that's when it's going to fall apart. You're going to have massive civil disobedience, and I support them. Because I personally believe it's none of the government's business to tell me how that I have to spend my money. It's my money, and I will spend my money the way I like. I will buy what I want. In other words, get out of my life and stop coercing me in buying an insurance plan that I never wanted. I was totally happy with the existing system. The government is now intervening, and I'm saying enough is enough. And I think that will be the widespread response. You're not going to see the participation in these plans, and then it's a house of cards. Because then the only way the insurance company can really cover its cost is going to jack up premiums more, and then this is going to collapse. Because then no one it will enroll. Because even the people that enroll, the second year, they're going to get a renewal. And if they're expecting millions to enroll and millions don't, it's an actuarially unsound plan. And the only way the insurance company can recover that is to up the premiums or withdraw. That's the other thing. A lot of insurance companies say, we're not going to play the game. We can't see any way to make money on this. We're not a charity. We're not the government. And see, I think that's all along what was intended. Where I think the liberals and the progressives, Obama and his crowd, have overreached, and they tend to overreach all the time. This is nothing new. And remember, they're a minority. Yes, they have the presidency, and yes, they control the Senate for now, but they're a minority. Usually a minority in the sense that somewhere between 15 and 20% of the electorate self-identify as liberal or progressive. Compare that with somewhere between 35 to 40% of the American electorate identify as conservative, and another 35 to 40% identify as moderates. The overwhelming majority of American people are not liberals. A small minority are liberals and progressives. What they are either conservatives or moderates. And what the American people deeply resent is when the government does not mind its business and does not leave the American people alone. And like I said early on, most people, like 85% plus, that had medical plans, either through their employer or they bought it individually, were completely satisfied. The way this Obamacare, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, was sold by the president was you were going to keep your doctor, keep your existing plan, and it's going to save you money. All three of those statements are lies. You're not going to be able to keep your current plan. That's why you're getting a letter from your insurance company saying, as of a certain date, we no longer will be selling this plan, and we recommend the comparable exchange plan is either the bronze, the silver, the gold, or platinum. And when people make the comparison, what they are seeing are premium increases of 2, 3, and even more times what they're currently paying, and with higher deductibles, and in some cases even less coverage, and their doctors may or may not be in their networks. In most cases, they probably won't be. It's somewhat random there. Now, why am I bringing it up? That is what I was expecting the president to at least get several questions on that. That didn't happen. There were no questions on this. That was the news story on every television network, on every talk radio show, including mine, was the disaster of the launch of Obamacare. It's a train wreck. It's the towering inferno. It's the Titanic all rolled up into one. And it's not getting better. And even CNN, Wolf Blitzer, is saying, maybe it's time for the Democrats to listen to the Republicans and delay it for a year. Now, I'm not in that school. I've been very much on the fence and sort of vacillate. I know the argument is delay it a year, the elections happen, and at that point we can repeal it. That's the strategy of the Republican Party. I'm more and more convinced that that's not a good idea. Let it rip. Because what's happening next November? We have an election. Don't you think the American people are going to remember all this? They're going to say to themselves, listen, I had a plan that I liked with a doctor I liked, and the premiums were affordable. And now I don't have my doctor. I have a plan that I can't afford. I don't like it. Who pushed this down? Who jammed this down my throat? The Democratic Party. Well, by God, I'm going to throw out of office every Democratic representative and senator that's running. It's too late for Obama. It's too late for him. We got to wait to another 3 years. But whatever you do, don't vote for Hillary Clinton, because she's the one, when she was in the Clinton administration, as well as when she was running for president last time, that was a big advocate of this mandate requiring people to buy coverage. So the American people have a memory, and I think they're going to be voting their pocketbook. And when they see really what it's all about, how much it's going to cost them, they're going to vote with their feet. What I think is going to happen in November, and I could be wrong, but based on the disaster, the train wreck of Obamacare, and it's more than its website. The website, those problems will eventually be ironed out. It might take 6 months or a year. I hope it takes a whole year to iron it out. But as more and more people become familiar with it, there's a lot that they will not like. You got to spend more money for the premium, higher deductibles, a plan that really doesn't meet my needs, has stuff in it that I don't really want and need. It's not affordable. I can't keep the doctor. I'm not saving money. The reaction is going to be one of two things. They're going to buy it holding their nose, and I think that will be the minority. Or they're going to say, no, I'm going to vote for Republicans, knowing that the Republican Party, they did not vote, not one Republican in the House or the Senate voted for Obamacare. Obamacare was pushed out at the very last minute. The point being, we have it now, and I think the way the American people are going to get rid of it is, first of all, not enroll. In large numbers, not enroll. See, that's the answer that when you have, whether it's the Secretary of the Treasury or the Sebelius, Secretary of Health and Human Resource, they don't want to answer that. because they know the answer. They just don't want to make it public. It's a very, very, very small percentage of the people that go to the site actually enroll. And I think initially people are going to the site just to get information. And to the extent that they can get the information, they're saying, no, I think I want, you're going to hear this, I want to think about it. And usually when they want to think about it is, I don't want to buy this. I really don't like what I see. You know, if I see something I really like, I'm eager to buy it. If I see something that I'm seeing red flags, I'm very hesitant. I definitely want to think about it. If I think it's garbage, I can't afford it, I don't like it, it's many times more expensive than my existing plan, no way will I buy this. And that's the fear in the White House. They need young people to buy this. And I think there's a challenge right there. I think young people say, hey, first of all, I'm looking for a job. I'm having trouble getting a job. The only jobs I can get are part-time. It doesn't pay much money. I have college debt. And now you're telling me I got to buy this plan? No way. I'm going to spend my money someplace else. Tough. Chase me. Come and get me if you can. And they're not going to go after you. And that's what's going to happen. The young are simply not going to buy this. Now, there's some people that are concerned will buy it. They're sort of under the gun. But they're going to hold their nose. And they're going to deeply resent what they were forced to buy. Now, the only reason I got into this, there were no questions on the Obamacare launch at all. In a 66-minute press conference, there were no questions. Why, when the president walked in, he was handed a list of reporters' names in order that he literally went down the list and asked them. He knew there was going to be no questions on Obamacare. He knew there was going to be no questions on the government shutdown and specifically the National Park Service closing monuments to World War II veterans and similar questions. They were all more or less focused in on the national debt ceiling. And the fact that what Obama said is, I'm not negotiating. That's what he said. I'll summarize the whole conference. I'm not going to negotiate. I'll talk, but I'm not going to negotiate. And what John Boehner is saying, Mr. President, that's not how it works. If you want to get the government open, you need to talk to us. And the president understands this. The maximum leverage that the Republican Party has is right now in negotiating an increase in the debt ceiling. And that's going to happen. The government is going to be reopened, and the national debt ceiling is going to be increased. And I'm looking at the clock. I got a little start, a little late, so I'm going to have to be wrapping up. But that's what happened. So if you were scratching your head, why didn't he get any questions on either Obamacare or the closing down of the government? That's why. It was a rigged press conference. I won't say they knew exactly what the questions were, but they knew the fact that they would largely be on the increase in the national debt ceiling. And the president needs that increase. And Congress needs to pass it. Why? All discretionary spending, that's about a third of all of the federal budget, is so-called discretionary spending. That needs to be totally financed by debt. In other words, I'll keep the numbers simple. Let's say the total budget is $3.6 trillion, and they collect taxes of $2.4 trillion. The taxes pay for so-called mandatory spending, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid are the biggies, but also SNAP, your food stamp program, unemployment compensation, various income security programs. That is about two-thirds. There are a number of other programs, but that is the law. The biggies are Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. You add those three up, you add the others up, you're at two-thirds. And that's what taxes can pay for. The rest, one-third of the government, all your federal departments, all your agencies, all these other programs, there's no more taxes left. They have to be paid for by the Treasury Department issuing debt. That's the essential problem today. And yes, Congress will Congress understands this problem, and they're going to increase, again, the national debt ceiling. They do this every year, and it's roughly about $1 trillion, because that's how much money they're short. A little bit less, a little bit more, but a ballpark figure. So you got taxes that can pay for $2.4 trillion. The additional $1 trillion, or 1.2 would be the more correct figure, that has to be financed, which means the Treasury has to issue debt. And the way it works is Congress puts a limit on the amount of debt. We're at that ceiling. That's called the debt ceiling. We're at that ceiling today. So they got to increase it. For an annual basis, that'll be increased by over $1 trillion. That's the only way that they can fund the government, and the government can pay all its obligations. They can only pay two-thirds of their bills. And the bills that they're paying are, first bill they pay every month is the interest and the principal on the debt. They do that automatically. They have to, because if they ever default, and they're never going to default on it, no matter what you hear from the president, he's lying to you. They're never going to default, because if they did, immediately what would happen is the cost of borrowing would shoot through the roof and would put the economy in another recession. That's why they're never going to default. They have more than enough money to pay for that. Every month, on average, they get about $225 billion. The interest is less than $35 billion. They can cover interest over six times. So the first bills they pay every month is the interest. That's why the federal government is never going to default on its national debt, no matter how many times the president lies and misleads you. And the same thing happens in newscast after newscast. Some of these people are just ignorant and stupid and don't understand it, but I think many of them truly do understand it. Now, I will agree with them. The government has to pay for its bills, and the only way they can pay for these bills is they have to borrow. About a third of all federal spending requires financing, which means they don't have a credit card. What they do is they issue debt. They issue bills, notes, and bonds. So don't believe what the president is trying to scare you. That's what he was about. He was trying to panic you. Your Social Security checks are going to go out. Your Medicare checks are going to go out. Medicaid checks are going to go out. You're going to have food stamps. All of the mandatory spending is going to be paid. And within a week or two, if not sooner, the federal debt ceiling will be raised. And then they can issue more and more debt as we get deeper and deeper and deeper. My concern is at some future point, not in the distant future, that debt time bomb is going to blow up. Interest rates are going to go up, and interest will require more and more. Instead of $35 billion a month, it might go to $70 or $100. I'm looking at the time. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Tomorrow, I'll probably go over the presidential nominee of Janet Yellen as chairman of the Federal Reserve. I'm very much interested in this topic. So for those that are interested in the Federal Reserve, now personally, I'd like to abolish it. But we have a new appointee, a new chairman that will probably take over in January. And this is somewhat historic. It'll be the first woman chairman of the Federal Reserve. Thank you, and back to the music.